Breaking news today on Seculo is the Biden administration now forms a special UFO task force.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're taking phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The White House, they tried to get ahead of the confusion in the country, which it absolutely is creating every single day, every time they open their mouths, about extraterrestrials and alien life forms. And there's different comments coming out of the Pentagon than there is from the White House, than there is from the State Department. The White House has announced through Jake Sullivan, surprise, surprise, a lot of confidence there, that they are going to create a UFO task force that would compromise elements of the Pentagon, the FAA, Department of Homeland Security, and other agencies. Again, those agencies have all failed us already on this. So coming together to talk doesn't seem like an actual solution. But let's play the bite. They're trying to announce this as a way to move forward. Because remember, the Chinese spy balloon is not considered UFO.
Right.
These last three incidents are considered UFOs, and the government is still telling us publicly, at least, that they don't know what the origin of it was. So they don't know if it's a country, an individual, a state, an alien. They don't know what they are, how they were propelled, how they were even moving. I mean, one was literally, it said it was the shape of an octagon. So if you know UFC, you know what that shape is. Take a listen to Kirby.
The president, through his national security advisor, has today directed an interagency team to study the broader policy implications for detection, analysis, and disposition of unidentified aerial objects that pose either safety or security risks. Every element of the government will redouble their efforts to understand and mitigate these events.
You know what the issue is here? These guys speak and the confidence level in anything they're saying is zero. Zero. First of all, you know, we are on like day five of some of these. And we don't know what it was yet.
They put together a working group, but they shot stuff down before the working group.
Do you remember how much flack President Trump got when he set up the U.S. Space Force?
Oh, yeah,
people saying, "Oh, it was a joke. What do we need this for?" Well, you know, we'd be handling issues that are higher in altitude. But this is exactly why you need these issues.
Yeah, like, is this space joke? It's just floating down.
Who knows?
I mean, that would, again, make, I think, people feel better.
But when they go on air and say, we can't determine a propulsion device, you know what that does to the American people? You start thinking, well, then what is this that we're dealing with? So, you know, but it has become the great deflection. We got a lot of other topics we're going to talk about on air today. But we have to be clear that this situation is obviously serious enough that you got multiple branches of government, including in the House and Senate now, looking at this. But no confidence in what they're saying whatsoever.
No, and Congress is upset, both Democrats and Republicans. So I think whatever deflection they wanted, they've created a bigger problem than what they were deflecting from. This is much bigger of an issue for your leadership than Hunter Biden.
Yes.
It really is, because you're talking about unknown enemies posing a risk to civilians. We don't know how they're moving through the sky. We don't know how these objects work. We don't know who sent them up there. And this all happened within a week of shooting down a Chinese spy balloon. So we've decided now to just shoot things down without knowing anything about them. Then they say, oh, every time they're shot down in a place where they really can't recover much info. They did recover some from what was shot down, I guess, over off the coast of South Carolina, but they show the picture of the boat. I mean, it looks like something got blown up.
And the one, like, Huron, they did say that they think there was something tethered to the whatever was
a
floating
metallic
in the
balloon.
Air, a metallic balloon with some device tethered to it.
But the pilot's now talking, saying, I would not call it a balloon. So who do you believe there? And who's talking to these pilots? I mean, we don't get names.
The problem is the White House can't come. It's like every other topic that they're
dealing
with.
They think everybody thought this would be cool? Like, we're doing something great by taking down these objects.
No,
like,
got everybody nervous.
Does it make us look strong?
No, it looks like weak and we don't know what's coming at us. I mean, that's the worst form of weakness is your self-defense is, I have no idea what's coming. That's
and
I'm
the Chinese
got
me laughing.
Of course they are, because I think part of this was the Chinese trying to figure out how much they can penetrate in the United States, and they found out a lot.
Yeah, as much as they want.
Yeah.
We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. How serious do you believe this threat is to our country? 1-800-684-3110. Talk to us on the air. We'll be right back on Seculo. 2 seconds. We'll take your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. I mean, there's laughing going on when they talk about aliens at these press conferences, but for the people that are talking about it, they're not laughing. The reporters start laughing, and I think that's just a response because it's so shocking to hear from the White House podium or from the Pentagon or from the National Security Council spokesperson like Kirby. And take a listen to Senator Kennedy, because he kind of sums this up. This is just the last 10 days in the United States of America. 10 days we're talking about. Take a listen.
If you are confused, you understand the situation perfectly. 10 days ago, we were led to believe that our skies are clear. And now, all of a sudden, we've got spy balloons and unidentified objects raining down on us like confetti.
That's what doesn't make sense to the American people, is this has all happened so quickly.
It's happened quickly. It reminds me of the way they communicate on a lot of other topics. And we take like the situation with the classified documents. And they first came out and said, here were the areas these documents involved. Iran, the UK, Russia, Ukraine. They give you definitions. Then they stop saying that altogether. You don't hear anything about what the topics of those documents were that were recovered at the current president's house and beach house and his office. This thing, you know, the first one that gets knocked down, it's a Chinese balloon. It's a surveillance balloon. It traversed the entire United States. Now we've had three simultaneous and literally within like 72 hours, and we know nothing. Now, Colonel Smith, the knowing nothing, you know, they're getting a lot of, the military's getting some flack because the one miss, it took two strikes to get this one over Lake Huron down. But you said that's not an unusual thing.
No, not with what they're trying to shoot out of the sky. I mean, they're using Sidewinder missiles, which are basically a heat-seeking missile. And yet they've told us that these objects had no obvious propulsion system. They were moving. And normally, if there's no propulsion system, there's no heat signature. So what the pilot would have to do, and he missed on the first one, they do have redundant targeting systems on F-16s and the other aircraft. So he would have gone to a computerized radar system that actually analyzes, based on the speed, direction of the target, where it's going to be on impact, not where it is when he fires the missile. So there are redundant targeting systems. Apparently, he probably had to use one of those. But yeah, if you're using one that's primarily heat-seeking and there's no heat signature, it's understandable how it would miss.
Wes, what do you think's going on here? I mean, because I think, you know, listen, you're trying to make light of it in one sense, but in another sense, it's, if there's another one of these taken down, now I wonder if they pulled back on the takedowns because they realized it was backfiring politically.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's hard to understand. Here's the thing that I think is not being done, that the White House should do it. Actually, the president should do it. We don't have to know all of the details. Senators got a classified brief this morning. But what the American people need to hear from their president is, should we be worried or not? That's a simple question he can answer. Should we be worried about these new objects or not? You know, and leave it at that. And that's not coming from the White House. They are establishing a new commission to study airborne objects, which is redundant because last summer the Pentagon established the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, or the AARO, and they are investigating what they call UAPs.
Do you think there's some of this could be they've changed the sensitivity of the detection systems?
Well, NORAD says they did do that. They changed the aperture on their system that monitors the skies. That could be part of it. On the other hand, you know, the White House and the Pentagon have said that these last three pose no significant threat to people on the ground, were unmanned, and were not sending communication signals. So my question is, if that's all true, then why did you use a $400,000 missile to shoot it down? And it seems like to me, because the president took so much flack for not shooting down the Chinese balloon until it went all across America and 21 military bases, that he's sort of overreacting now, trying to appear diligent and tough. And meanwhile, you know, we may be, you know, shooting down things that really are no threat at all from the sky. And if they know what they are, they're not telling.
You know, it's interesting. Eric on Rumble Jordan writes, Eric actually, unrelated, said he got a response from his member of Congress talking about the Chinese and what they're doing and infiltrating. We had our ACLJ action letter on TikTok because as the Chinese are sending over spy satellites, they're spying right on your phone.
Yeah.
Well, you had a huge response to that, and Eric on Rumble said he got a reply from his member of Congress regarding the ACLJ letter on TikTok.
People are starting to take it seriously, the TikTok issue. The first round of it during the Trump administration was a lot of confusion because it was pretty new. It was seen as kind of a kid's thing. And again, when you're dealing with older members of Congress and older political leaders, they don't really know what they're talking about with these devices. Now that we've kind of had a couple years to understand, just because they have a U.S. subsidiary, does it stop the small print from saying that the Chinese government, which includes the CCP, their military and intelligence, must receive all data from TikTok? So must, at whatever time they want. And again, so this idea to say, we're not going to just let you create subsidiaries. We've seen this in the land grabs too. People are shifting considerably. They're saying, listen, we don't even if we, you know, can't get the refund back, we're never going to give them permits. Right. That's the new fight with China. You might buy the land, but they're ultimately going to have to sell it because they'll never get a permit to use it.
To do anything.
Anything.
Let's go ahead and take some calls. 800-684-3110.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Daniel in California online too. Hey, Daniel.
Hello, I'm coming from California. I want to thank you guys for your work.
Thanks.
As an American, this is very alerting to me because how in the world are we barely officially stating that we're discovering all these things throughout our North American airspace? And it's going to sound outrageous, but let's hope that it's extraterrestrial and not some next generation aircraft from China, Russia,
he's right,
or enemy aircraft that we don't know about.
You know, Daniel. Listen, I'm going to play what Marco Rubio said, because this is what he said exactly 2 years ago, and people laughed at him, and he was 100% correct.
Are we alone?
No, look, here's the interesting thing for me about all this, and the reason why I think it's an important topic, okay? And that is, we have things flying over our military bases and places where we're conducting military exercises, and we don't know what it is, and it isn't ours. So that's the legitimate question to ask. I would say that, frankly, that if it's something of outside this planet, that might actually be better than the fact that we've seen some technological leap on behalf of the Chinese or the Russians or some other adversary.
By the way, he said this, Wes, in July 19th of 2020.
Yeah, yeah. A very, very wise, astute statement. And he is so correct, because it'd be much preferable for it to be from some other planet
than
it would be from China or Russia or Iran, even someplace like that.
Are they saying that these things are moving around based on airstream, airflow?
That's not what I've heard. They actually seem to be propelled. It's just,
well, they're saying they're non-propelled. No, they said they're non-propelled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard that, because earlier on they were saying they're moving, but they don't know how they're moving. I think it's interesting, Jay, that this Pentagon office that was established last summer.
They said there's no obvious propulsion devices on this, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Right? But on some of them, yeah.
The Pentagon group that's studying these unidentified objects, since last summer, they've investigated 366 episodes. Of those 366, and this is in the Pentagon's report, and they're still using this commission from the Pentagon, 171 of them were completely unexplainable, both as to how they're being propelled and some of the aeronautical capabilities of sudden moves right, yeah, left, up, down. So the Pentagon is looking at this quite seriously, and they admit, to their credit, that they don't know on 171 of these. Who knows?
Let's take Rob from New York. He's on line four. Rob, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate everything you guys do.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty irresponsible to go start shooting things out of the sky when you don't know if they contain something that nefarious in them. If somebody figured that we would just shoot something out of the sky and they had bioagents in it or anything else, you're just shooting them out, you know, shooting them, and you don't know what's going to happen next.
I think that's what I wondered, you know, why they did not knock the one they knew was a spy balloon, the Chinese, the huge spy balloon that was flying, traversed the entire United States, when it was over water, why we didn't take it down. But, you know, you don't know what's in these. We found out in that one there was explosives.
They said they have no idea what's...
Yeah.
They don't know how they're moving. They don't know what... Yeah, the chemical agent, they're not detecting anything. It's pretty sad state of our military and technology that with all these systems, we have no idea how they're moving, no idea what's inside, a missile can't hit them right away because there's no heat coming off of them. So think about that. They're not producing any heat. And there's real talk at the White House podium about aliens. This is not a joke. This is when you get a leader who can't lead. I mean, this is what you get, is a bunch of, we put in Jake's.
It feels like Jimmy Carter all over again. It really does.
Yes, and a military that's not prepared.
Yeah, so what about that aspect?
Yeah, Jimmy Carter all over again, but only Jimmy Carter in a world that is far more serious and ominous and threatening than it was in the 1970s when he was president.
I'll tell you, folks, we got a lot more coming up. We got a ton of phone calls. We'll get to the calls, so you all hang on the line here. We're taking calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Vice President Pence is in a legal showdown now with the special counsel, Jack Smith, on the investigation of January 6th. He's got a very interesting legal argument they're making under the speech and debate clause. The Constitution at stake here in all of this. We're going to talk about those investigations as well. We'll take more of your phone calls at 800-684-3110. And again, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment. Social media platforms, you saw a montage of reporting on our case involving the National Archives as it relates to those pro-life students. For just a moment, let me just tell you what's going on there. So we are actively litigating a issue involving a preliminary injunction and temporary restraining order. That is going back. That's as it relates to the National Archives. The Smithsonian, which also sends for these students. We are in federal court with them as well. So two separate federal lawsuits filed. We were all Andy Kahn was on the set here. We were all working, Jordan, too. We were all working on it yesterday. I'm hopeful that we're going to get some kind of resolution, at least to phase one of this, right away for these students, because what happened to them was totally outrageous. But again, I just wanted to let you know the ACLJ is working on that front and center. Let's talk about the situation with Mike Pence has been subpoenaed. First time, by the way, a former vice president has been subpoenaed to appear before a grand jury. Interestingly, he is going to, this is as it relates to the January 6th matters and the certification of the election. His lawyer is asserting a very unique approach to this, and I think a very wise one, and that is saying that that information cannot be put forward because of the speech and debate clause of the United States Constitution. I want to ask Jordan first, politically, Mike Pence doesn't want to get into crosshairs with Donald Trump either right now.
Well, I think if he could do it without being under oath, he would. He would like to be, but we brought out a good point. Is there's no indication he did anything to stop anything, or he wasn't necessarily supportive of it. I don't know what he could have actually done, but that could actually come back.
Yeah, you could. Anytime you walk into a grand jury, you have jeopardy.
Right. So I think politically, on a debate stage, he'd love to use that. But on a grand jury situation where they try to say, well, what did you actually do to, if you're saying this was so bad, what did you do, Vice President?
Then he's going to say certified the election.
Yeah, but is that enough? For the left,
who knows?
Yeah,
probably
right.
not.
For these
because they poked at him and saying, you know, we're making him a hero because he exercised his constitutional obligation.
Yeah, I think so. It's rife with issues, especially when you're preparing a presidential campaign.
And remember this also, Mike Pence
and
knows
he's got the
enough.
FBI at his house right now.
Yeah, and he's got the FBI was just at his house. He was around the president, obviously, on the whole Mueller investigation. So he knows how these special counsels run awry. But they're taking the lawyers, and he's got very good lawyers. Are taking a very interesting approach, Andy.
Well, the approach, I think, not only is interesting, but it's constitutionally and legally correct approach. The speech and debate clause of the Constitution of the United States, which appears in Article 1, says that members of the legislature, the Congress of the United States, the Senate, are protected from the things that they say and that they do on the floors of the House of Representatives and of the Senate when they are functioning as legislators, because if they weren't, then they would be subject to lawsuits and intimidation and all sorts of things. For example, a grand jury subpoena, as Mike Pence is facing right now. So the speech and debate clause insulates and protects members of Congress.
Because of separation of powers.
Because we have a separation. We have the legislative branch, we have the executive branch, we have the judicial branch of government. And the separation of powers has to be observed. And Mike Pence, I think, is using it's not innovative. It's a very good, solid strategy. You can't inquire into the things that I did as president of the Senate and vice president of the United States, two positions that he held with respect to this election, because it's part of my immunity under the speech and debate clause.
We just don't know how courts have never, like
the reason
said,
it's never been tried. So no. This is me.
Because he's claiming
impression.
He's both a legislator because he's president of the Senate
and vice
and
president.
Executive. So he's two of three branches of government.
And it's interesting because if you look at it constitutionally, and this is why I wanted to talk about this for a minute, He is uniquely in an interesting situation. He's under Article 2 as Vice President of the United States. But under the Constitution, under Article 1, what's interesting is the Vice President is also the President of the Senate.
Yeah, he can cast tie-breaking votes.
He can cast tie-breaking votes. He has a role to play in the counting of electors. So all of that takes place. So I think he does get.
It's not just ceremonial.
No, I think caution, I think, you know, correct jurisprudence says he gets it. Now, who's going to decide that? The Supreme Court of the United States. How long does that take? Many months. Is Jack Smith, can he wait? I'm not so sure. I think they're running out of time because
also,
the political.
I think when you're dealing with UFOs and shooting us over our own airspace.
Yes.
This seems like, first of all, when you said they're going to try to distract, this makes it impossible. People are not going to focus on this. Not when you're shooting down random objects and you've decided just to shoot down. I mean, three in 1 week.
No, it is pretty unprecedented. You know, it does raise the whole international laws of armed conflict, too. Are these attacks on the United States? I mean, these are fascinating questions. You want to take some calls on that?
Yeah, sure. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Carl in California online, too. Hey, Carl.
Good afternoon. It's actually Carl in Georgia, but that's okay. Regarding the first Chinese balloon, officially the authority said it was no threat. Any information it gathered could have been gathered by satellites. Well, for one thing, cannot a slow-moving, sure, hovering balloon gather more precise information than a satellite ever could?
Yes, we know. I mean, the imagery is a lot better. They're not moving at the, you know, speed of sound at those levels in space. I mean, this is 20,000 feet.
But there's also something else. They were able to get this balloon. They tested the United States. That's
right above our nuclear sites.
Right above our nuclear sites, our military sites, our ICBM sites. And we did nothing until it got over Hilton Head when it was in the water.
It did.
And finished. And it was transmitting the data from what we gather in real time. And we're talking about the Constitution. The president is the commander in chief. He could have taken action at the front end of this rather than the back end.
Could have and should have taken action at the front end of this and not waited until it was in Hilton Head on the Atlantic Ocean before knocking it down. But this is a failure of will, a failure of leadership, a failure of the exercise of the proper power of the president to safeguard the United States. Why should he do this when he's letting the borders be wide open? I mean, now our airspace border is open. Our land border in the southwest is open. Our land borders in all the states are open. So why not let the air borders be open too? Everything is safe. In the world of Biden, it's all okay. We're a strong nation, except we got satellites hovering over us, picking up important information, and we're doing very little about it. I have not heard from the president. I have not heard one word from the president himself.
No, one time he did a round like the Marine One. That was it. You couldn't.
Has
even
he said anything, Will, since then? Since the Marine One addressed this?
Just in the State of the Union, where he said our sovereignty won't be tested.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, our sovereignty is being tested. It's being tested right now. Listen, whatever these balloons are, or whatever they are, someone's testing our sovereignty.
Yeah,
whether it's a country
the State
or
of
government
the Union address.
Yes. The first one was before the State of the Union address. And then he took it down the weekend before. And then the other three were there just this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
this was Friday,
so
Saturday, and
Chinese
Sunday.
The Chinese never agreed that was theirs. They did agree to that one. They said that was their balloon.
Yeah, they wanted it back.
Yeah. So that we had more confirmation on. They were upset. They said it was a weather balloon. And it wasn't. But they did say that was theirs. No other country has tried to claim these were theirs.
No. Nor corporation, organization, or entity.
Or the Weather Service.
Which is interesting because the Weather Service purportedly puts up a lot of weather balloons every day. Like 100 a day, right? Yeah, it's like 100 a day. But it does. But we wouldn't know if it was a weather balloon, right?
Well, that would pose a threat to our airspace.
No, and it would pose a threat to air
travel. What they said these did.
Yeah. Listen, we shoot these down. Let me tell you what that operation's costing. Every time we've done it, millions and millions of dollars. I'm not saying don't do it, by the way. I'm just saying be clear. It's millions of dollars.
He needs to address the American people prime time.
Yes. Supposedly they were going to do that. They just haven't. We got another half hour ahead. We got a lot more coming up. Mike Pompeo. And that's going to be, we got a lot of questions for him on all of this. So we're going to get into all of that issue. We're going to get into the president has now sold more oil reserves. You think to yourself, why? But you'll wait until you hear the answer. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110 and support our work at the ACLJ at aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. Take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3122. As we said, Mike Pompeo is going to join us next. We're going to ask him about this. They're trying to, you know, they're taking political shots at the Trump administration in the meantime while they're getting up there and say they don't even know what they're shooting down. So I want to get to your calls on, because I think that's very concerning, this idea. One thing with the Chinese spy balloon, these really are not comparable issues. They're trying to act like, unless they just think we'll just start shooting everything down now and we'll try to claim these victories like we're tough. And the American people are saying, you're not pulling one on anybody anymore.
No.
And the pilots are all contradicting that. Everyone is contradicting themselves. The Pentagon contradicts the White House.
Two pilots contradicted themselves.
Yeah, the pilots said it wasn't a balloon over Lake Huron. It wasn't a metallic balloon.
One said it was jamming their radar.
Yeah, and the other the missile didn't hit the first time because no heat.
We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's play what Representative Dan Crenshaw says, then we'll go to D in Colorado. Let's play Dan Crenshaw's statement.
My main concern is that the president hasn't come out and made some kind of definitive statement, even if that definitive statement is simply, we don't exactly know, but we don't perceive any danger right now. We are in the process of doing X, Y, and Z. This is maybe why we're seeing so many in the last week when we've never really had this happen before. That would be a good explanation as well. There's probably reasonable explanations there, such as, well, we only really just started looking into the sky at these altitudes, mostly because of that Chinese spy balloon.
This is Dan Crenshaw is right, but this is the problem with this. No one's given an answer, and we act like we don't know. And if we don't, that makes it worse. Let's go to D in Colorado. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. D, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering if they don't know anything about it, where it's coming from, what it's doing, how it's being propelled. How do they know it's not a threat to us on the ground?
Well, on the one hand, they say it is a threat to our civilian aircraft, so they have to shoot it down with F-16s and F-22s. I mean, we're taking serious militaries for shooting Sidewinder missiles at these things. I mean, this is no joke. And then they say it's not a threat to us on the ground, it's a threat to us in the sky, but we don't know what it is.
And I think this is where the communication issue is a problem. But then you got to wonder, Andy, is it our intelligence gathering a problem?
Well, I think it is our intelligence gathering problem because we don't have that intelligence gathering capability because it's been so diluted, it seems to me, that we cannot exercise the functions of intelligence gathering that we needed to determine what these things are. I mean, that's a fundamental issue that I think the president needs to address. And as Representative Crenshaw said, the president hasn't come out and made some kind of definitive statement. We need to hear from the president.
I want to hear from, and we're thrilled that we're hearing from our audience. Give us a call. We're keeping our phone lines open at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Get your reaction to this. How is this playing for you? Are you concerned about this? 800-684-3110. We're going to have Mike Pompeo coming up in the next segment. I do want to update everybody. We are in court on two federal issues involving students that were at the March for Life, that when they went, one group went into the Smithsonian, they were told to take off any of their pro-life garb, attire, to remove it. They were profanities uttered at them. It was horrible, actually. Smithsonian, they have a museum there, including law students went, and among other students. They were told the same thing. I don't think that was profanity, but it was harsh treatment, censorship. We went to federal court on both of these cases in Washington, D.C. Also, we have prepared motions for preliminary injunctions and temporary restraining orders as relates to the Smithsonian case. Those are being negotiated out literally as we speak. We may be back in court on that this week. So your support of the ACLJ pays for all that, including this broadcast. So if you're watching this broadcast or seeing this broadcast, I want to encourage you to contact us and support the work of the ACLJ. And you do that by going to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Major appeal against a case involving Planned Parenthood of the U.S. Court of Appeals from the Ninth Circuit going on this week. Our Supreme Court case has been relisted again on the prayer case out of Florida. There's just a lot of activities. You're going to have a very busy time at the ACLJ. Support our work, aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Back with former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo right after this.
Secular. We're joined by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, is also the former CIA Director. I want to play this soundbite first and get Secretary Pompeo's reaction, because we saw Admiral Kirby, who now speaks on behalf of the National Security Council at the White House, and he talked to reporters yesterday and tried to claim like they had done something great by discovering these objects. Take a listen, Bite 11.
When President Biden came into office, he directed the U.S. intelligence community to do a broad assessment of Chinese intelligence capabilities and to ensure that we were working to detect and to protect against them. We were able to determine that China has a high-altitude balloon program for intelligence collection that's connected to the People's Liberation Army. It was operating during the previous administration, but they did not detect it. We detected it. We tracked it.
So the politics of this, Secretary Pompeo, as we've heard the rebuttal so many times from you and other former administration officials that this was not the case, and yet this is the line from John Kirby. He's making this issue about politics.
Goodness, it's the darndest thing. I remember when they did the same in Afghanistan and blamed their debacle, getting 13 Americans killed on President Trump and me. Focus on the mission. Keep America safe. Don't let a balloon fly over the United States for 5 days collecting against us, if that's what happened, and certainly embarrassing us across the world. This isn't, for me, political. This is about what is going on that is fundamentally different, right? We now shut down four items in the air, objects as they refer to them in the air, and the whole world is watching as this administration says nothing. President Biden says not a word, and we know that this is symptomatic of American weakness. And we can do better. We must do better. And they need to explain to us what's happening. Not politics.
Yeah, Mike, is you ran the CIA as well as being Secretary of State. I mean, how serious is? I mean, we had simultaneous. It seems so odd to me. I'm not an expert in this, so I'm just looking at it atmospherically. We shoot the one down over that would traverse the entire United States, and we shoot it down after completed its mission, basically. The other three, simultaneous, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just this past weekend. How serious is this? Or do we know?
It's absolutely. Yeah. So I, the answer is, I don't know. I don't have access to what they did in those final three strikes that they took. But it's fundamentally different than anything we've seen before. The decision to shoot them down, right? So we wouldn't shoot over land for a while because of risk. And then we shoot over Canada and over U.S. territorial space. The story that it was because of commercial airspace doesn't sound consistent with what they're saying at the beginning. And so this risk is real. We don't know what the Chinese are testing. We know if they're just testing our air defense systems to see how we respond, how our radars respond. We don't know if they're actually collecting not even just signals and image intelligence, but there's lots of things they could have had inside of those tools. And then finally, they're certainly testing our political will and our capacity to push back against threats from abroad. If you're our friends and partners in Southeast Asia or Taiwan, you have to be wondering, if they won't shoot down a balloon over Montana, will they really be there 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 miles away to support and defend us in the way that they've promised?
You know, it brings up, it begs an interesting question. That is, you look at, and Marco Rubio got a lot of flack on this, and we played it earlier where he made the statement that, you know, when someone was asking him about the extraterrestrial stuff issues and said, we'd almost be better off if it was, than thinking that the Chinese have gotten this advanced in these determinations. But, you know, I still am not convinced that the Biden administration, and especially after the Secretary of the State of the Union speech, he doesn't view them as an adversary. He views them as a competitor. But like you said the other day on this broadcast, China views us as an enemy.
Yeah. This is really the upshot of this balloon. That is one thread in the garment, whether it's the work that they've done in our schools here inside the United States, the purchasing of land, Huawei technology all around the country. This is part of a complex, deep effort to undermine our democracy. And so they have built their economy on the backs of America. They have been at economic war with the United States for 40 years. And President Biden says, can't we all just get along? I wish it were so. I'd love to get along with the Chinese people. But Xi Jinping has made clear his intentions, and that's going to require a forceful, capable, strategic, and thoughtful American response.
How bizarre is it that we don't hear from the president I mean, after these three incidents. So we hear from him on the State of the Union. He kind of vaguely referenced it. Not real direct. Doesn't really go after China there.
Yeah.
And then we've shot down three objects, over two over U.S. airspace, one over Canada, because they asked us for help. And he said nothing from him.
No, you're absolutely right, Jordan. They owe the American people an explanation. And if in case whatever's going on is too deeply classified for whatever reason, I can imagine that, I suppose, at least brief members of Congress, at least brief the intelligence committees. If you can't do that, at least brief the Gang of Eight. The American people have a right. When you're using American missiles to shoot something down over North America, the American people have a right to figure out and have explained to them by the commander-in-chief why it is those decisions were made, how they were made, and what it is we're doing to prevent this kind of thing in the future. American sovereignty matters an awful lot, and this president has not only in our southern border, but now in our skies, refused to defend it.
I remember all the flack the administration got when they created the Space Force, and now you're looking at all these issues, and you're saying, of course you got to have a Space Force. But, you know, Mr. Secretary, you have sat down with Xi Jinping. You have met with him, you have negotiated with him and his team. What kind of adversary are we looking at here when you're sitting across the table from him?
He is strategic. He is intentional about building Chinese power in every dimension, Jay. Economic, cyber, space, propaganda efforts across the world, economic tools. He is determined. He seeks what he calls the great struggle, global hegemony, and he has now ensconced himself inside the Chinese leadership as a leader for life, and he is determined to deliver on what he believes is China's rightful place in the world. And that will, if he's successful, our kids and grandkids will live in a very different America, and we can't let that happen. He is a very capable, bright, determined leader who doesn't care about human life. He is evil personified in the sense of, you can see from the virus that he allowed to travel across the world, they do not value human life in the same way that we all do.
You talked about our children, and you tweeted about TikTok today that there needs to be the action just to ban this. We've supported that move through ACLJ Action. We've had people contact the members of Congress. You know, whether they want to go through their subsidiaries, we all know that in the terms of service, the Chinese Communist Party, their military and intelligence has a right to your data all the time, whenever they want it, through the TikTok terms of service. And yet we don't see 100% agreement in the United States because of their lobby to stop this app, not to stop people's freedom of speech, but to say this specific app is too dangerous.
We have the U.S. government has a responsibility to protect America from foreign efforts to steal the data and information from Americans. And we seem to focus on TikTok a lot. We certainly were, but think about WeChat, think about Huawei and ZTE, think about all of the places that you now have Chinese semiconductors in your refrigerators, in your washing machine, in your car for sure. These are all avenues of access for the Chinese Communist Party, and we need to make sure that we're protecting. And here's the most important thing. We know how to do this. The ACLJ has done really good work on a number of these issues, and I'm so happy to be a small part of that. We all need to come to understand that this is the challenge for our generation and the one that follows us. And when we get it right, which I'm confident we will, we'll be safer, we'll be more prosperous, and frankly, the Chinese people will prosper more as well.
You know, we've 12,534 people have sent letters to Congress just from ACLJ Action, so we're getting a good result. Mike, always great having you on. Thanks for your insights on all this, and glad you're part of the team. Folks, when you look at the ACLJ and you see the scope and nature and the breadth of the work, look what we've talked about today. And we've got another segment to go with our Director of Policy, Harry Hutchison. And this is why your support of the ACLJ is so critical. We encourage you to support our work at ACLJ.org. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Jordan. Let's take Leroy's call from Kentucky.
Hey, Leroy. So I was wondering that China said that we have flown balloons over their area. What have they done to stop them, or they just let them go, or what have they done?
Admiral Kirby said we do not, which I'm sure it's hard to believe.
Spy,
he says we do not send spy balloons over.
They gotta be balloons. I mean, of course, we're spying on each other. So it's what extent you get caught and then what they do. I think that we probably don't make as big of news because they control their media.
Yes.
So they don't have a free press. So if these things get shot down and they don't want to talk about it, you don't hear about it. But listen to Byte 7 quickly.
no knowledge of a U.S. balloon or other craft over Chinese territory, just being cognizant of the fact that China has a different definition of what their territory is than the United States. Is there any U.S. surveillance aircraft over Taiwan, over the South China Sea that would fit into that?
There is no U.S. surveillance aircraft over Chinese in Chinese airspace.
Okay, even Chinese claimed airspace.
There is no U.S. surveillance aircraft in Chinese airspace.
Okay, and then just.
Which is, well, that's technical, okay. Because that's miles up, and then at a certain point you're an international.
Yeah, but you know, that doesn't mean we're not surveilling them. We have to be, because that's the nature of global conflict and global protection. Look, we're taking your calls coming in the next segment as well. 1-800-684-3110. If you're on the line, hang on there. 800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And our director of policy coming up next.
All right, welcome back to Secchio. We're taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. There's more going on in the world other than unidentified aircraft flying over the sky. And I mean, the administration telling us nothing to see here. Nothing to look here. The president has not addressed the nation on. He's using his White House spokesperson, his John Kirby and Karine Jean-Pierre. They're all coming out and saying it's no big deal. Maybe aliens, maybe, but they're not a threat to us. But we're shooting it down with fighter pilots. And one shot doesn't work because it puts off no heat. I mean, all of this, these statements, again, you don't have to be like a genius.
They
to
are
say,
not
this is
confidence builders. And
troubling stuff.
It is troubling. And these are. Listen, all of these are expensive moves, too. I'm not saying not to do it. I'm not the commander-in-chief. I'm not a military expert. I'm saying, you miss. And it's not that I'm not blaming the pilot. They got the weapons they had. They did get it, which I guess was a good thing. And
they're following orders. But again, I mean, they're shooting down.
Millions of dollars.
They don't know what they're shooting down when they shoot it down.
Harry Hutchinson is our director of policy. And by the way, he's got a brand new book out called Requiem for Reality. I'm putting a copy of it up there on the screen right now. Critical Race, Theocrats, and Social Justice Dystopia. This is a brand new book. Harry, give us quickly kind of the rundown of what, for people that want to, and you, by the way, you can get this book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books.
Well, I think, Jay, it's great to start with a few examples of what I'm talking about. So the San Diego Public Schools accuses white teachers of being colonizers on stolen Native American land and told them that they were racist and they had to become anti-racist. In Cupertino, California, they forced third graders to deconstruct their racial identities and rank themselves according to their power and privilege. George Orwell has said, if you want a picture of the future, then imagine a boot stamping on the human face forever. This claim, I think, is a perfect metaphor for critical race theory, which is filled with pernicious ideological doctrines led by cultural elites who claim that virtually everything from calculus to language to the stock market and even the Second Amendment is racist without any evidence. So one of the things that I'm trying to do is to expose the unreality, the lack of facts which support critical race theory, and the book stands, if you will, as a clarion call for parents in particular to engage in the fight to overcome critical race theory, particularly in our schools, but also in our government. And the Biden administration has been particularly forceful in advancing critical race theory throughout government.
I mean, people used to think this was kind of like in grad school classes with nutty professors. And now, like you say, it's third graders
being
told they're bad people, there's something wrong. Instead, and we're talking about China, instead of learning how to read, write, do science and math, they're learning about how they're a bad person because of whatever skin color they didn't choose when they were born.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that if you actually look at the data, if you actually look at the truth, Korean Americans, Filipino Americans, Syrian Americans, they actually perform better than white Americans in our society in terms of incarceration rates, SAT scores, and in terms of overall incomes. So we don't look at the evidence. We focus on an ideology which originated in Germany in 1933 from the Frankfurt School. It dominates the academy in the United States, and it began to dominate the academy in the United States in the 1950s and the 1960s. And so most elite schools have been captured by this ideology, and now it's beginning to affect public schools.
And the cost of a parent pushes back, they're deemed by the Department of Justice as domestic terrorists.
Absolutely. And it's important to keep in mind that Attorney General Merrick Garland's son-in-law actually is pushing critical race theory in schools. And so I think the American people need to get engaged in this particular fight.
The book is Requiem for Reality. It's by our director of policy, Harry Hutchison. It is available at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. We encourage you to pick this book up, especially on these issues of critical race theory and social justice and what all that really means. Harry, I want to move to the economy here, because I'm wondering, because the Dow's down today, the markets are very much in flux right now. How much of this uncertainty with China and with the spy balloons is impacting the momentum within the economy, at least on the stock market levels?
I think you raise a brilliant question. The market hates uncertainty, and President Biden's weakness in dealing with the balloon, with his inability to explain why we're shooting down these unidentified flying objects, I think that adds to uncertainty. But in addition to all of that, of course, the Federal Reserve lurks. Why? Because the inflation rate in the United States is still high at about 6.4%. And if you look at the consumer price index, the consumer price index is actually up this month vis-a-vis last month, even though the overall inflation rate is down slightly. So what does that mean? It means that the Federal Reserve will probably resume placing its foot on the accelerator of interest rate increases. Interest rate increases will, in fact, reduce the value of stock in the marketplace, and I think the market is reacting to that. I also think that it's important to keep in mind that the president has released more gasoline, if you will.
Is that because Jordan was just saying the prices, Jordan, you've noticed already, have started going up again? Is that why they released it?
Absolutely. They are anticipating that without the release, the price of gasoline will go up to $4 per gallon by mid-summer. So that's an ominous move as we then head into an election year in 2024.
Yep.
So I think President Biden is releasing more fuel, but the real problem at the end of the day is there's not much left in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Yep.
And in addition to that, of course, what is Vladimir Putin doing? He is reducing the world supply of petroleum. So long term, gas prices are likely to continue to rise.
All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Sherry's in Washington State on line three. Hey, Sherry.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to tell you I appreciate your all of you. My comment is, when has Biden protected this country from the beginning? Not. He is not protecting this country. They allowed that Chinese spy balloon to ride over the country and get all the information they needed and wanted. That was allowed. I believe all these other subsequent shooting downs of weather balloons, whatever they are, is just a way to cover it up.
Yeah, I think, look, we've explored this for an hour. You know what I'm starting to think? This is the great deflection distraction. And I think, you know, in tomorrow's, unless something earth-shaking happens, I don't want to mention balloons again for a little bit. Unless something happens. And hopefully it won't. Folks, again, Harry Hutchinson's book, Requiem for Reality, is available wherever you get your books, at Barnes & Noble's, of course, Amazon, and Amazon.com. Your support of the ACLJ keeps this broadcast on the air and allows us to stay in the fight. ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.